Romans in chapter 8. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray right quick. Lord, I beseech you, I need your mercy. I need your Spirit. I need your guidance. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray that you give me freedom of ease, freedom of speech. I pray that I might speak clearly. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll grant them repentance. Lord, I pray that you'll bring revivals to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray for your honor and glory. Amen. I usually don't like to speak about other religions or their doctrines in particular because they're all false, regardless what religion it is, what they teach, it's false. I don't like to point out where they're wrong, because 99% of the times they're wrong everywhere. But there is this one thing that I want to point out that all religions teach wrong. And it comes down to what it is condemnation. Any religion nowadays tells us that, yes, there is condemnation, but they switch the meaning from it. They use the Bible, yes, but they change the meaning from condemnation. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses, when they teach of their condemnation of us sinning and being condemned by God, they tell us that what we're going to be condemned for is sin, yes, but we're going to die. We're not going to suffer in hell, or we're not going to be punished. We're just going to die. I find it funny how Hindus, what they believe, they tell you, if you sin, if you're a bad person in your life, you're gonna become reincarnated, and if you were a murderer or if you were a drunkard in this life, you might come back as a worm. You know, and that's their condemnation. Uh-oh, there goes Uncle Charlie, whatever. Don't step on him. And that's their condemnation. Roman Catholics tell you that you have a second chance. That you'll suffer a little while, but then after you've suffered, after you've paid your due, that you'll release and you'll enter into heaven. And so on. All these religions, they don't have a real condemnation. And so, first of all, before I start, I'd just like to point out, some things that I found out of the Bible that defines condemnation. And the first one, we all know about it. Whether you're saved today or whether you've lost, whether you're an atheist, everybody has heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. These people were wicked in the eyes of God. These people did such evil that I would dare say that we don't even compare to them. The Bible says that it was so wicked, God had to come down to earth. He walked with Abraham and he said, I go to see if it's really that bad. Can it possibly be as bad as I hear? And he found that it was. It was that bad that he could not hold his wrath. He condemned that city. They were condemned. They perished. I think of Noah and the ark. He condemned everybody. They all perished. And this is the first part of condemnation that I found. That God, when he condemns, he uses physical. He condemns us physically, yes. But it goes beyond that. Not only does God condemn us physically, it goes on to spiritually and eternally. Doesn't Jesus say, fear not them who destroy the body, but have no power over the soul? So it goes beyond physical condemnation. And that's the second point, that God condemns not only our bodies, not only will he condemn us, not only if I not walk according to his will, can I get sick or can I die physically, I die spiritually. God says, but rather fear him who hath both power to destroy, cast the body and soul into hell. You see, the Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, he tells us, even when you were dead in your sins, you were dead in your sins. Not physically, they were walking around, but their spirits, their souls were dead according to the scriptures. And that's the second point of condemnation. God, when he condemns us physically. When he condemned us, he condemned all men physically and all men spiritually. And the next point is that God condemns us eternally. It's not just a temporal punishment like the Catholics say. They say you go to purgatory, there it is. Purgatory, you suffer a little while and you pay your dues, and then after you're done, you'll go to heaven. After you've paid your dues to God, you'll go to heaven. No, God, when he condemns eternally. And the reason being is that God is eternal. Therefore, the punishment must be eternal. And God, doesn't the book of Revelation say, and the smoke of their torment comes up before me forever and ever. It's an eternal condemnation. And God even condemned his own son because of sin, eternally. What I mean by that is that on his palms, there is the proof of his condemnation forever. You know, it's because of, who was it that wrote that song? How does it go? I can't even think of how it goes now. It says, when I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side, I shall stand, I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nail in his hand. Wasn't it a blind lady that wrote that? She'll know the Savior. She'll know the person that made her see spiritually because of God's condemnation upon his son. And the marks are eternal marks. So it's not just a temporal, it's not just a physical death. It's a physical death, yes. It's a spiritual death, yes. And it's an eternal death. So having said that, I would like to go back to Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I see three things in this verse, right? With the first sentence, the first paragraph. There is therefore now no condemnation. It tells me that once upon a time, there was condemnation for those who were outside of Christ Jesus. And the reason for this condemnation is sin. And I'd like to point it out, in Romans chapter 1. Go back a couple chapters. Romans chapter 1. And this is the reason why we were condemned. One of the reasons. One of the reasons that God condemned man, both physically and spiritually and eternally. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because, it's telling us why the wrath of God is on men, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. That which we could have known of God, God manifested in us. God showed us the way to life. God showed us how we can have everlasting life. And we knew it, we saw it, God walked among men, and he that created us, walked among us, and we knew him not. That's the first reason that I find that we're condemned. Because we rejected Christ, we rejected God as our Savior. We said, we know you not. We rejected him. And I find that's the one reason, that's the most important reason for God's condemnation. The second one is our sin. The wages of sin is death. That's how I understand the Bible. The wages for our sin, the penalty for our sin is death. And God, as I understand it, death is physical, it is spiritual, and it's eternal. So it's not just dying, I'm dying, and I might die, that's my penalty. No, it's an eternal death, and God condemned us. Now, I got ahead of myself. Another important part of condemnation, or a scary part, I should say, of condemnation is, we die, we'll die, but we all die. We die spiritually, yes. And we die eternally. I mean, it could be understood. But the scariest part for me is found in Ephesians chapter 2. This thought. Ephesians in chapter 2, in verse 11. The Bible says, wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that in that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I think that's a scary thought. Being without God in the world? Doesn't the Bible say that God is all good? How does he say it? He says he is the giver of all good things. He's the giver of all good things. He's the giver of our peace. He's the giver of our hope. He's the giver of mercy, of love. He gives us this, and because of this condemnation, we've been separated. Something causes separation, and therefore God condemned men. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 that our iniquities have caused the separation between man and God. And it was a sin that caused the separation between God and men. And to me, personally, maybe it's not your opinion, but to me, that's the scariest thought of all. That we're separated from the giver of all good things. From the Father of life. From the eternal Father. From life itself. We're separated from this God. Being separated from our iniquities. And that's part of God's condemnation also. And like I said, I got ahead of myself. But, it happens. The third point, of what? Of, yeah, there it is. The third, there I go, get ahead of myself again. The third point of the reason of us being condemned is because we broke the law. And that's just reasonable. I mean, if I'm in my car and I break the law, I deserve judgment. I deserve the wages of breaking the law. And the Bible says that if we break the law, we're lawbreakers and therefore guilty and worthy of the wages of the law, which is death, according to the Bible. Amen. So that's why we were condemned, because of sin, because we rejected God, and because we knew not God. So the question remains, Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation. It's the first thing. Now tells me in the past I was separated, I was condemned of God. But praise God for this verse. It says there is therefore now no condemnation.
Amen.
What else can you say but amen and praise the Lord, huh? There is no condemnation now. Why? Why is there no condemnation? Galatians 3:13. What does it say? It says Christ is as I know this verse. You guys are scary is what you are. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. That's why. That's why there is no curse right now. Because Christ took your curse, He took my curse, He took our curse, and He put it upon Himself. And He died on the tree and became sin for us. The Bible says that Christ has become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen. That's why there's no condemnation right now for us, if you're in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The second reason, Colossians tells us, Colossians chapter 2, and you, being dead in your sins, verse 13, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. He nailed our condemnation upon Himself while He was on the cross. To the cross, as He was on the cross. The wage of sin was paid. That's why there's no condemnation now. That's why I can stand before you and tell you that I'm not condemned. Because the wage that was required, the penalty, the judgment that was required of me for breaking the law has been paid. It's been paid for. Christ said, it is finished. Didn't He? Didn't He say that as He hung on the tree? He says, it is finished. It's been paid for. What God demanded from us, the wage that God demanded from us was paid when Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why there's no condemnation now for us who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 again says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There was condemnation, there is no condemnation, or we're no longer condemned. And He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. There can no more be condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Not possible. Like I said, Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The whole purpose for us being condemned was because we were lawbreakers. The whole reason of God looking down and condemning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all those cities that were round about it was because they were sin. They were sinners. They were full of sin. The whole reason that the old world was destroyed with the flood was because God looked down and He saw the children of God go in amongst the daughters of men and commit sin and fornication, and there is no more sin to those who are in Christ Jesus. God has clothed us with the righteousness of God. He sealed us with His Holy Spirit. And that's the verse that I like to read in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Christ has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There wasn't, there cannot be any more condemnation because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We are made the righteousness of God. And to say that we can be condemned is to condemn God Himself. Because if we're condemned, then the righteousness of God is condemned. Because we are now, because Christ was condemned for us. He took our place. We are now the righteousness of God. You sin. Yes, I do. But the spirit in me doesn't. The new man, the person that you're looking at right now is dead. You know, he that is of God sinneth not. That's what the Bible says. So yes and no. And I really don't want to get into that topic right now. there's a lot of strings attached, or it'll suck you in. It'll suck me in, at least. Since I'm up here, right? But like I said, we've been made now the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So, the purpose, the reason of God judging, the purpose of judgment is, there is none. Like I said, we're the righteousness of God. Before the night's over, y'all are all gonna know that we've been made the righteousness of God. Cause that's the only thing I can think of right now. But praise the Lord, right?
Amen.
You know, but something that separates us as Christians, as believers, as children of God, is that we acknowledge, we know that just because Christ took our condemnation, just because we're no longer condemned, doesn't mean that there is no longer any condemnation for anybody. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for who? For them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you're not saved today, if this is your first time here and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, please don't get me wrong. Don't think that I'm some way trying to tell you that you're free now, you can do as you please, there's no condemnation. No, that's not true. You're only free in Christ Jesus. You're not free if you're in religion. You're not free if you're a follower of Mary, or if you're a follower of Buddha, or if you're a follower of Muhammad, or if you're a follower of anybody else, a follower of your parents, or a follower of your traditions. You're still condemned, because the only way that you can be free of this condemnation is to be in Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus was made sin for us. Because Christ Jesus took our curse upon Himself. Because Christ Jesus died. Because Christ Jesus won the victory over death. So, I urge you today, if you're not in Christ Jesus, get in Christ Jesus. Let's see, where was that verse? No, I should have written it down. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 again. "That at that time you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ."
Amen.
I was afar off. I was one of those who knew not God. I mean, He was in my house. Y'all all know that my parents are Christians. I knew not God at one time, although He was preached to me. I was far from God. I was an alien. I was an alien to the promises of God. But now, in Christ Jesus, by His blood, I am made nigh unto those.
Amen.
I am a son of God. Not inheritor, but heir, there you go. I'm an heir to those promises by the blood of Christ Jesus. Last thing I want to point out of this verse. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Okay? Not everybody is free from this condemnation, okay? You can be, okay? If you're in Christ Jesus, you can be. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer have this condemnation upon ourselves, have a responsibility, a requirement. It's not just a free pass to do whatever you want. We have a responsibility. And the Bible says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility now, as heirs of the promises, as children of God, is to walk in the Spirit. To be godly. To seek things that are of God. Not to seek the things of the pleasures of this world. Not to love this world, but to love God. And to do His good will. And I know God has many wills. But the one that stands out the most, in my opinion, is that He wants us to tell others about this freedom in Christ Jesus. This way of escape, this escape in Christ Jesus. So, if you're saved today, if you're free from condemnation, if there's no more condemnation for you, it's my responsibility to tell others, to bring others to Christ, to let them know that there is a way. But like I said, there is a way. There's not many ways. There's not the way that you choose. There's not your own way. There's not what satisfies to you. There is a way. And this way is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes it hurts. Yes, it does. You know, and especially lately, I would like to ask for boldness for myself and for the brothers here. I don't know if you've noticed this. Maybe down in Mexico it hasn't happened, but it seems like, right now, downtown for the past month, things have been changing. People have been complaining more. People have been getting more aggressive. People have been threatening more. So I ask for boldness. It may hurt, but it doesn't change the fact that it's your responsibility. It doesn't change the fact that you've been freed from bondage, freed from condemnation, unto good works. We've been saved to do good works. We've been saved to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We've been saved to do the will of God. And the will of God is, in my opinion, the most important will of God. One of the wills of God is to tell others of this escape, the great escape, if you will. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. I pray if you're not saved today, that you'll call on the Lord. My Lord, He delivered me. He delivered many people here. He changed their lives. And if you are saved, if you are free, I pray that you don't use this freedom for your own benefit, for your own flesh, for your own convenience. I pray that you use this freedom for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.